Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Hi, this is FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thank you all for being here on yet another episode. This episode, to me, is a lot of fun to bring to you. I've had amazing guests, and Johnny Quintana is one of those amazing guests this episode. He is a climber. That's right. He has FSHD. He's in the Paralympics climbing national team. He's working through the progresses of doing the national championships, and he's on the world circuit for climbing of all sports for someone with FSHD is remarkable. He talks about in this episode in high school, being a football player, being a wrestler, getting to college through a wrestling scholarship. So big athlete, which is really important in this episode to keep track of the fact that he's an athlete, was before FSHD and is after the diagnosis of FSHD. Very important point as you listen through this. Talks about his FSHD story, of course, and how it was a shock, not just to him, but also his mom, who got basically diagnosed at the same time. Great things to listen for. Like, don't give up. Cliches, maybe. Life isn't over. Once again, cliches, maybe. Or not today. Not today, I'm not going to give up. Not today, it's not going to get me. Not today, I am going to be stopped by this disease. I actually think of that often. I know more bad days are coming with this disease, more things will be taken away. But when I'm within my day, I think, but not today, but not today. Today is the day that is going to be like yesterday. And I can still do these things until you can't and so on. And adaption is always the key. Please listen to as many episodes as you can. Follow, share the episodes with your friends out there in the community and family. FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org is my email address. Please fill my email box with any show ideas or guests if you want to be a guest on the show. Yes, you. You listening could be a guest on the show because I think you have something to share for this community. I am just the host of this, and I want to bring as many stories I can to the forefront through FSHD Straight Talk podcast so that everyone can enjoy and be inspired by the others in our community. So I hope you really enjoy this episode with Johnny Quintana. I know I had a blast talking with him. So please, without further ado, enjoy the conversation with Johnny Quintana. Hi, everyone. I've got some exciting news for you from the FSHD community. If you've ever felt the unpredictability of FSHD, or wish there was more accurate research and information out there, and I know you have, then listen up. I'm thrilled to tell you about Better Life FSHD, a groundbreaking new research platform from the FSHD Society that's changing the game for those of us living with FSHD. Better Life is your one-stop hub for tracking symptoms, accessing personalized resources like articles and videos relevant to you. And the best part, as you take surveys and track your symptoms, you provide FSHD researchers with better data to understand this complex, understudied disease. And a better understanding can lead to faster treatments, something every one of us can get behind. So head over to betterlifefshd.org and join the study. It only takes a minute to get signed up. Together, we can change the future for everyone affected by FSHD. I've done this. It's a simple process. I challenge you to do the same. Again, that's betterlifefshd.org. Now let's get back to the show. So as promised, we have a fantastic interview lined up. This is one of those interviews where I probably should have pressed record before Johnny knew I was recording because we had some great pre-conversations. Man has a lot of energy. As I told him when I read his email about coming on the show and we were interacting, I could feel the energy even through the words there. So without further ado, this is Johnny Quintana. You are a climber and you're definitely an extreme type person, especially over me. I am Mr. Conservative. Like, the extreme as I get is like coaching baseball for kids. That's it. As extreme as I get. So before we get too far, though, into the climbing side, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where are you from? And that FSHD story, which I, you know, everybody now probably knows, is where Tim always starts.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm originally from Texas, Amarillo, Texas, which is in the middle of the Panhandle, if people know it. It's usually people just stop there before they go to like Dallas and they head south. I mean, it's everywhere. Yeah. Like, everyone's like, yeah, I've heard of it, and I've actually stopped there, but I haven't really like. So it's kind of a good stopping point, Amarillo, okay. Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, no natural growing trees there.
None.
It's crazy. Wow. It's all grassland. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes, and just a big thing there. I mean, Texas is all about their football, you know. Friday Night Lights is a real thing.
Oh yeah.
And
did you live that Friday Night Lights?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. play football since I was in second grade all the way up to my senior year of high school.
Wow.
And I mean, it is what they say. I mean, you're like, you know, 15,000 people in the stands, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just the whole town closes, and you know, you'll have journalists in your locker room like asking you about the game. I mean, it's wild. Like,
it's a whole
other thing. I don't know how it is now, but back when I was in school, I mean, it is just TV, you know, television. It's on like regional broadcasts. It's crazy. But yeah, football was a thing, and I wrestled. I was better at wrestling than football.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my upbringing, just organized sports, you know, and just kind of in the middle of Texas. Not knowing that I had FSHD, I kind of just lived my life like I didn't, you know, like I didn't have it, unbeknownst to me. And I got some scholarships when I wrestled.
Oh, wow.
So I was pretty good, not to be boastful, but it's just, you know, wrestling at a young age just kind of makes you good. And then when I was wrestling, I noticed that there's some like things in my legs that were, I mean, it felt like a pinched nerve or something. Like I just wasn't able to perform on the mat as much as I wanted to. I was starting to get slow. I mean, I wasn't able to run as long. I was fatiguing like pretty hard. And I went from my thighs and my calves were, I went from like that to this. In a matter of eight months.
Holy cow.
Just because like wrestling practices are just so strenuous, and it's the craziest workouts ever. I mean, I remember this junior, he comes up to me in college and he was like, you know, I was like puking. It was like the first time I threw up in,
oh my God.
In practice. And he comes up to me and he's like, I was like hunched over, and he's like, hey, just want to let you know that that tomorrow's practice is gonna be harder than this practice, you know, like, and that's how it is. He's like, every day is harder than the previous. And I was just like, dude, I don't know if I can do this. It's just a whole level of conversation. So, but anyways, I it got bad, you know, and I just didn't know what was going on. And it took around 6 months to diagnose me, which.
And like, what were your parents saying within this time, you know, or family? For that matter.
I was 19, so my mom was making my doctor's appointments, you know, like that classic teenager. And she sometimes she'd go in with me, and I went into like a foot doctor, and then I went into the neurologist, Dr. Milligan in Amarillo, Texas. So I a big shout out to him. And he started doing these tests, like pinpricking my legs. Just to kind of see what nerves, it's had nerve damage. I don't know if anyone else has done that before. I went in and I remember going into the hospitals. You know, I used to do like six vials of blood every week for some reason. And it was, I thought that was really weird. I was just like, wow, something crazy is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months later, they're like, yeah, you have FSHD.
So were they like testing you for that during that time of taking the blood? You mean, I mean, was that what they were doing like a DNA test or?
Yeah. They were doing DNA test.
Wow.
I remember sitting in the doctor's room and they're like, well, since you have it, your mom probably has it. So they tested her. And so we both found out that we had it the same, basically the same day.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And
So, did your mom have any physical symptoms before that? Probably not. Like,
she, I mean, she's just a tough woman all around. My mom is just a tough person. And she broke her ankle when she was pregnant with my younger sister. And then she broke her other ankle. And so we just, it was like, okay, her atrophy, from her ankle breaks, like naturally we're just, yeah, that was gonna hurt her. So we just didn't think anything of it. I mean, what, I think I got the no complaint thing from my mom. I just don't complain about anything. And neither does my mom.
That's all
And
right.
so that's all,
It's not a bad
that's
trait.
it. No, that's not a bad trait. Yeah. So like we just didn't we didn't know, she just lived life like she didn't have anything. And yeah, and same with me, I guess. And yeah, speaking to Dr. Milligan, I always tell the story because it's kind of changed my life forever. He was sitting me while he was telling me the diagnostics and like basically telling me my future, what was going to happen, what FSHD is. And he said, your muscles isn't going to get you anywhere in life anymore. Like your athleticism isn't. And he goes, you're the biggest muscle in your body now is your brain, and you got to use it. And I was just like taken back, like doctors sometimes just have a way of saying things so bluntly, but I think I needed that. And so, I really thought about it. I mean, there was a dark couple of years, and I say dark, I just didn't know what to do with my life. I just didn't know what I was going to do. I had to move back home and in college, and just kind of watching my body just completely wither away, like I'm not able to run anymore, and like my legs started to wither away again, and it sounds depressing, but it's like people just, like we don't have it as bad, but like you can't just tell somebody I went from this to this. And so I'm seeing the full spectrum of like being an athlete to now not being the athlete that I once was, but also watching your body just kind of deteriorate a little bit,
And
which
the
is
fact
like,
that, I mean, you're an athlete and that's part of your identity to some degree, right?
yeah. Oh yeah. And
So
that's what
helping
Dr.
the
Milligan
way.
was trying to, he was trying to tell me, like, this is not your identity anymore. This is not what you're meant to do anymore. Like a door is going to close, another one's going to open, and you got to take that open door. You got to walk through it. So like I, there then the next couple of years just kind of was like, I don't know what to do. And graduated college, and then my best friend, my childhood best friend, who's also from Texas, he lived in Utah, and I just called him. We kept in contact. We probably spoke a few times a month. And since college, I called him and I was like, hey man, I want to come visit you in the spring. And he said, yeah, come do it. Visit him for a week, climbed, did all this other stuff. And it was a whole different culture of just not organized sports, which is my identity, but now it's just like another culture of the outdoor industry. And so I packed up my bags right after that and
Really?
left. Yeah, just
Wow.
yeah.
Just like that.
Just like that. Yeah. I mean, I was like, I needed a new change. I needed something different. And I, mountains were a foreign thing to me.
But that didn't
And
like worry you at all? I mean, talking about climbing or the extremeness of just, I mean, outdoor life in general, hell, even camping can be tough with someone with FSHD. You know what I mean? Like there's those offer challenges for the average Joe. And then you incorporate muscle weakness and dexterity problems and reach and all that. And you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna go do this thing. That's pretty
yeah,
wild.
I didn't ever think that that was gonna stop me. Like I think those years of me reflecting on what I had, that was what Dr. Milligan was trying to tell me. Like these doors are closed, like some other ones will open. And just being active maybe didn't, my atrophy, I still have atrophy, but I think just me being active helped me a lot. And staying in the shape that I am now. Not overdoing it, but just moving my body around, moving those muscles around constantly, you know, not going towards fatigue, but just like stretching, you know, and swimming and just doing and any climbing. Climbing uses every part of your muscle in your body, you know,
Yeah.
and I think that's what really helped me. And so yeah, I started climbing. I mean, I remember the first wall that I got on, my buddy, yeah, I'll just say his name, Creighton. He got me on a route, my first time climbing outside ever, actually. And I didn't get to the top, and he tied me to a tree. And he was like, collect your thoughts. He anchored me to a tree, and I was just hanging there. And he was like, collect your thoughts, you're gonna finish this route. So
Yeah.
I think him just being the culprit of positivity, kind of just gave me a different light, maybe, of life, you know, like that climb that I remember that he just tied me to a tree was, you know, the crux of what I am now and what I'm doing now, you know, of just like finish it, you know,
Yeah,
fin
yeah.
finish what you started, you know, type of
Well,
thing. And I
and he treated you like an athlete. He didn't treat you like someone that had an issue or physical problem or disability or anything. It sounded like he was like, well, you're going to figure this out. So,
Creighton
it's
has
like,
never had sympathy ever for me. He's never felt bad. He's never felt anything. And that's just, you know, that's what a friend is,
what you
you
need.
know. Yeah, he didn't, and the thing is, he didn't care either, you know, I kind of just built a community around that. You know, half of my friends didn't even know that I had what I had. I mean, I just recently posted on my social media about my story, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I just never I and I finally, you know, my partner was like, you'd almost be selfish not to tell your story because your story will inspire others. People are diagnosed with any type of muscular dystrophy or FSHD every day, you know, in
Right.
their life. They're gonna go through what you went through. So like that was another thing. I mean, going back to Creighton, like, yeah, he never felt sorry for me. And I think like that's what kept me going. Like that's what kept me climbing, you know? I mean, he even walked into my room, my office, and was like, "Hey, you want to go skydiving?" You know, and then got certified the next week. Like started my schooling, so I'm a certified skydiver.
Damn.
I just had to be really good at canopy control, you know.
Yeah.
And I usually just land on my butt. I slide
Yeah,
into my butt.
that was my first question. Like, if it's affecting your legs to the degree that you talked about, how are you landing without breaking your legs?
So you
On
just
your
kind of
butt.
pick up. You just wear like thicker pants, and you just slide on your butt. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just maybe have a different mindset, and I think I've said it before. It's like, you know, maybe it's whatever they feed us in West Texas. You
Maybe,
know, that
maybe,
gets us this drive. But yeah, I started getting into these sports and kind of never really let it. But the thing is like, you know, I've kept in contact with Dr. Milligan, and I've always asked him, like, what do people do when they first hear about their diagnosis? And he goes, dude, honestly, like they give up, you know? And I don't want that. I don't like it, I keep thinking of that. Like, I don't want people to give up. They don't need to give up, you know? And maybe that was another reason why I just wanted to just share my story.
Yeah,
Which,
I think a lot of people are there, like that like quit stage.
yeah, and that was another, like, you know, thing that I think I could have, you know, I think I could have given up. I think I could have, but I kind of just lived my life like I didn't have it, you know, even though it was affecting my walk and, you know, like different parts of my body that were atrophying, my chest, you know, just like polyps just all over my body, just like, you know, kind of like missing. And but man, I never really, like, yeah, just thinking about it, I just never really, I don't think I think I don't I'm not gonna say I didn't care. I just didn't let it affect the way it was gonna live my life. Even though it's a huge, I think about it every day. you know.
Oh, you have to,
you
right?
have to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant process. I mean, even when you're doing everyday things, I think we'd all be really surprised of actually how much we really think about it without thinking we're thinking about it. You know, when you're maneuvering yourself through what would be normal actions in a day, you are thinking about how to, you know, like just talking about this with someone today. I'm like you'll do an action. I told them and you're fine. You know, if it's a simple household repair or whatever, I have to go, okay, now wait a minute now. Okay, if I have to reach up or if I got to do this, okay, then, okay, I got to do it like this. You know, I almost have to predetermine the steps to do what I have to do. Or I've done yoga and I go into a move and I go to my, and I start to get a slight panic about it. I go, wait, can I get out of this one? You know, like I have my chest on the ground. I got my arm underneath myself. I only have my left arm on the ground. I might lay here for a good hour. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to push myself out of this one.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's just that moment. Like, you know, like I always think like when you go into a cave, let's say like, let's say you're like a cave person that, you know, goes crawling around in there. I would think to myself, with the people that do that, I give them credit too. It's like once you get in that cave, like, do you ever think, okay, how the hell do I get back out?
Yeah. That's the kind of like the, and you'll start noticing things and people can relate to me, you, you'll start noticing things and it could just be sporadic. It could be so random. I remember, I was visiting a couple of friends. They had some kids and we were doing this hike or whatever. And, I was giving this his son a thumbs up, like two thumbs up. And I noticed, like, I was like, oh, I can't lift.
Oh, damn. Yeah, look at
you
that.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't, like, and so, like, when I gave him thumbs up, I was like, you know, I was like, I realized in that moment, I was like, oh, okay, something else is going on. Like, something else is happening, you know, like, and so, like, and I realized, like, I need to start maybe paying attention to my extremities more, you know, just different things of my body, like figuring out adaptive ways to do better things. I still give him that thumbs up, that kid, you know, the thumbs up. And
that could be like your thing though. You know what I mean? You could have like a climbing t-shirt and like, it's a thumbs up, but it's got your unique way of doing it. And then all of a sudden people are getting tattoos of it and like it becomes a thing. You never know.
Buy the merch. Yeah.
Buy the merch. Thumbs up merch. Kind of thumbs up or something. Yeah.
Yeah. There's different things that, you know, I feel like, I feel like that's totally relatable. I mean, I'm sure people can relate to that. Just like ever changing body. You know?
Right. And it is interesting that your doctor says, okay, the most important muscle in your body is, you know, your brain. And like I did warehouse work my whole life or some physical job, side jobs or moving people. I mean, it's insane when I think about now the stuff I'd lift. I mean, I had a job where I was on like a dolly, you know, moving an iron tub. You know how heavy an iron tub is? Even on a dolly, wheeling it around an apartment building, putting it in someone's living room because they're going to get their bathroom remodeled. And I got to bring the stuff, cases of tile. And I'm like, how the hell? And this was after diagnosis. I was still doing it. And I thought to myself, why am I doing this? Right. But I adapted. And so I would have a coworker go, how can you do that? And I go, well, see, you're thinking with your muscles. Like, I'm just going to go brute force, do what I got to do, get out of here. I'm going, okay, I'm going to use leverage. I'm going to use a tool. I'm going to use, you know, the hand truck or whatever I can to make it less labor intensive for my body because I'm not gonna be able to do it. Now that was my last physical job because I knew full well, like, yeah, this is extreme for what I'm dealing with. So eventually you come call it to your senses, but you make a bigger adaption of what you do for a living or how you do certain things. But that I think was my takeaway to like that person and very similar to what you're saying or what your doctor said, like you have to use your brain more than now your muscles because you can't rely on those to do what you think you're going to get done or what you used to do.
How does it affect you the most?
Me, it's definitely like my reach. Like this is it, right? Like the reach has gotten worse. The arms are thin. Drop foot on the left foot, shins. I mean, constant, you know, soreness. When people ask me, what's your soreness like? I'm like, well, you ever like not run for a while and then go run like a mile? You know how you feel the next day? They're like, oh yeah. I'm like, pretty much all the time. They're like, you what? You know? I'm like, yeah. So I'll, but right away, you know, then they give me that reaction like, oh my God, you know, like the dread or the, I'm so sorry. Look, and I go, ah, don't worry. I'm like, me and Payne are best friends. Like, we give each other Christmas cards, and like, it's a whole thing. So it's like, I just immediately flip it into humor to some degree, because I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Right.
Yeah.
If I do the gym or the yoga stuff, and granted, it's nothing as extreme as what you're taking on, but it's going to hurt anyway. So I might as well do it.
Yeah.
And that's the rationalization that I have with things. Like, what if I'm doing, like I said, do a lot of baseball coaching, there's some activity in there. It's not extreme by any means, but you know, if I have to show a kid a drill, or if I have to move, or I have to hit, you know, baseballs to kick, this is going to hurt. If I'm on my legs all day long for like 8 hours, double headers, the whole thing. Yeah. It's going to hurt really bad by the time the day's done the next day. But if I don't do it, it's going to hurt anyway. So at least I get some enjoyment, you know, that's within the pain, I guess, right? You're doing the things you still like. So for me, it was the upper body. That's what started the diagnosis problem. And then now the legs, a little bit thinner for sure. It worries me though when you talk about like the thumb thing, the dexterity, because I've noticed like it feels like when I'm tying my shoes even, like I'm getting frustrated with myself that I'm not as fluid with my hand movements as I used to be.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, huh, like is that the FSHD thing, or am I just 49? You know what I mean?
No, I think, not to be like dark, I think it's 100% FSHD. Oh,
great. So I got that going for me.
I mean, but like, that's the thing is like, do you wear a brace, by the way?
On the left foot, I have an AFO. I actually wore it yesterday. Of all things I had to do, and I did not want to do it, I had to bowl. Yeah, bowling at a bowling outing, like for a fundraiser.
Yeah. Yeah,
my wife's on the team, and my, you know, and so forth. She goes, "Well, we're gonna need one more bowler." I'm like, "Are you kidding me right now? You want me to sling a ball while barely being able to walk?" So I slung. I put on the AFO, and it does help. So at least I had some balance and stuff. But I'm like, I literally just walked up to the lane, and I had like a 6-pound ball, you know, like the lightest one I could find, and just woo, you know, just let it happen.
Yeah.
No physical momentum at all.
So. This is going to be kind of controversial. And with all the guests that you've had on, maybe I'll just be blunt, but, I've been advised to wear brace like since I was first diagnosed. Sure. I've definitely refused it, and I don't wear a brace, even though I do have drop foot on my left.
You do. You know? Okay.
Oh yeah.
So then how do you you can hear it, right? Yeah. It just goes.
Well, like I think I have a gait in my walk for sure, but I think I've just adapted my walking ability to just be free without a brace. And I'm not really sure, you know, the science behind it. I'm not really sure if it's really, I don't know, like not helped or not. I mean, a lot of neurologists or a lot of people are like, you need to wear a brace. But I'm like, you don't know my body. Like,
true.
Yeah,
and I would fight it like you're doing as much as you can. Now I wore a brace that day. I don't have it on now. I didn't have it on weeks and months prior, because sometimes it honestly hurts my foot more than the inconvenience of having drop foot. I mean, it just it hurts. It's a foreign thing on my leg that's supposed to help me make a natural movement, but it does. It's not a natural movement, you know, any longer. No. So it's like, to your point, sometimes it's just letting me figure out how do I walk with the drop foot is more natural moving. Hence, it's an adaption, you know?
Yeah. And maybe keeping those muscles ignited, you know, the muscles that you aren't moving. I feel like the muscles that you aren't moving, if you do wear a brace, do you think it would just atrophy faster? That's just my theory, but I don't know.
I'm sure there is some truth to that for sure. I think the only reason like why I would encourage someone to, if you really are worried about falling, like if you really think that foot's going to get caught a lot and that's going to lead to something else, you know, like my just said, you know, Tim, FSHD won't get you. It'll be something that FSHD causes that will get you. So like breathing issue, possibly tripping and falling smack in your head. This is exactly what he tells me. I'm like, he goes, or you just get hit by a bus or something like that. And don't have to worry about it. I'm like, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah. But the neurologists, I feel, have like no bedside manner. They're very scientific. They just, most of them. I think Dr. Nagar in Chicago, I met, she had a lot of bedside personality. So she's the exception to the rule, in my opinion. But or I've heard when I got diagnosed. Well, Tim, it's a, you know, it's a muscular dystrophy thing, but it's not like it's Jerry's kids. You know, Jerry
Yeah,
Lewis
no.
telethon, you
Jerry
know what I'm
Lewis
talking
and
about? I'm
Jerry, yeah,
like seriously.
MDA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
Oh.
okay. I don't know
Yeah.
if that's the right thing to say in that moment.
I just don't know. My neurologist, well, I have a new one here in
Yeah.
Utah. I don't say her name, but he told me that, you know, I was telling her I needed like documents, you know, for this climbing thing that I was doing for the USA Climbing. And she was like, I don't recommend you climb. I was like, what are we, what? It
What?
was shock. It was shocking.
Wow.
And I was like, I didn't, I, obviously I'm not disrespectful to a doctor and her, in her opinion.
Sure.
But I just politely said, well, I recommend that I do. I was like, what?
Very good. Very
I was
good.
like, what data do you have of
Yeah.
that? You know, and she's like, well, we don't have longevity data on, like, you know. And I was like, well, you know, like, I think it's been pretty good to me so far. And it was just a very like cordial, you know, meeting or whatever. And
Yeah. Yeah.
then it was wild. I just like, it's just kind of frustrating a little bit, you
Is.
know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the science and data behind it, but man, I feel like if we like if you know your body, if you know how it if how it works, like follow that,
Agreed.
that intuition of, you know, of what you need, if you can do. Don't like all the way go off of doctors' advices. I mean, they're great. They want the best for you. They want the interest for you. You know your body more than the doctors do, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like you
And
really
most people
do.
have disease more than some doctors do.
If I would have followed the doctor, I don't think I would have been able to do this goal, you know. I think the muscle that I do have that are have helped me climb, I think they maybe would have atrophied. Maybe there's something else that I couldn't
Yeah.
do, you know. And so I don't know. I mean, the people that I listen, I think like that's that could be a message of just like, man, like it's not over.
Yeah.
You know, like and granted, like people have it worse than I do as far as FSHD. And since I've launched my story on my social media, I've gotten so many, Tim,
Wow.
from all over the world of people that have FSHD that have like asked me questions, have asked me, how are you able to do this? You know, like your persistence and your, you know, perseverance is like so admiring and inspiring. Like
Yeah.
what can I do? And I'm not kidding. And it's not, I'm not being dramatic. I mean, I've gotten so many messages, just like, and it's already working. Like, you know, they've asked me about my diet. They've asked me about what vitamins I
Yeah.
take. They tell me like what my workouts are. And it's like, man, this is not for me anymore. This is like about reaching out to as many people that have what I have.
Yeah.
And that's maybe that was my goal. You know, that was my goal of just like being a little bit boastful about what I'm doing. And that's the end goal.
Yeah, to help others, because I mean that was amongst my even list of questions, like what is your workout regime? What does a day in the life look like for Johnny's training when you're
Yeah.
doing the climbing?
Yeah. So, well, I'll just tell I this is my first year of competitive climbing.
Okay.
I've mainly just
Wow.
climbed outdoors. I've been projecting stuff from, you know, all over North America. I mean, I lived in Canada for, you know, for 3 months, 4 months, just doing some projects, mountaineering out there, climbing some, you know, Cascade peaks and stuff, and doing that stuff. And just going on these expeditions. And then my partner, Sam, and I had a long talk about just, hey, you know, she's like, you need, she like really nudging me, like, you need to try to push into this paraclimbing thing. I think it'd be really cool, you know?
Yeah.
So I got into that, of paraclimbing, and just went to my first practice. It's been one of my favorite things in the entire world. So if anyone has a community of just like any type of adaptive sport or whatever, I very highly like
Or do it.
recommend do it 100%. It's the best thing you'll ever do. I mean, people have the craziest stories ever, you know, and it's a community of just like good, wholesome, pure hearted people. I mean, it's just like the best thing that's ever happened. Like it really is. So I go into this paraclimbing practice and I start practicing and start getting ready for these comps. And the first competition I went, my partner and I, Sam, drove to Texas, Katy, Texas, in our Avid converted van, and we drove all the way to Texas, and I got first in the
wow, like right away.
Right away, yeah. And I was like, you know, I think I can do this.
Unbelievable.
But then Nationals was about 4 weeks later. So I went to Nationals just past week. And I got fourth. Which was good. I wanted a podium. But mm-hmm. it was sure. a little taste of a competition that was a little bigger. But I made the national team. I made the USA national team.
Wow.
Then to be invited to on the world circuit. So that was my goal, to make the national team. So now my training, to get back to your question, my training regimen is I climb 3 to 4 times a week.
Okay.
But I do a rigorous, like, pre kind of workout type of regimen. I mean, I'm doing dynamic stretching by moving my legs around. I'm doing some shoulder, shoulder rolls, dynamic, like shoulder rolls, like big swings.
Okay.
And I'm using tension bands to kind of get those like shoulders going. I do a lot of body workouts. I do a lot of like pull-ups and stuff, and I use bands to like tie it to the bar, and I'll put my feet in, and I'll just do assisted.
Put your leg in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I can do pull-ups. I can do like reverse, like bicep pull-ups pretty well. I have pretty big biceps still. My main thing is doing front pull-ups. I can do around 7 unassisted.
Yeah.
But my goal is to get to like 15 to do a muscle up. So if I can just like do a muscle up, that's just like engaging these back muscles, maybe, you know, like you, if you have like a winged scapula, if you have any type of arch back, I think it's just like training those muscles as much as you can to kind of get that muscle memory, to kind of just like move them, you know, and move those back muscles. So I do about an hour of pre-workout before I climb. I mean, it's a pretty long thing. I think that's important though. You just don't want to kind of go into anything cold.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think climbing is upper body, you know, it's not, it's like 75% legs. The sport, if you take like a beginner person, like a female to a male that have just, you know, they're beginner climbers and they just first climbed, the female will be better because she uses her legs more. Yeah. She just uses her legs more. Guys just want to brute themselves up.
Yes. And
I mean, that's just how it is. So, climbing is, if you have leg muscles, you know, I mean, go climb, because you can use more of your legs than your upper body. It's just technique, because most of the time your arms are extended anyways, right? The only time that you're using power is through your legs, through your arms, you know,
get your body up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're producing ground force energy, so to speak. Or if you're on that particular, right, your feet are on that particular spot of the climb, you're probably using your legs to boost yourself, right? Getting that that way. But how about like for your reach? Like if you have to get your hands into a certain spot, you talked about like a route, you know, to take as you climb. I've heard that term before. Like you just don't randomly go to town. Yeah. You know, you're like, no, I'm going to go here and this way and so forth. Are you anticipating then what could be difficult when you are looking at that route because of like, I don't know how much of a reach issue you have. I know if I did it, like that'd be my number one concern. How far can I really get to that spot?
Yeah. So I can't lift my arms too. Like, you know, that's.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's, you know, I can like assist it, or if I assist like, it,
right.
Know,
yep.
Yeah. Do that.
Yes. I can do that too. Yep.
But climbing is like a gravity thing. I mean, if you can like reach, you know, and like use that effort to reach or whatever, you can get to Holtz. But yes, to answer your question, I do look at routes before I go. I on-site the route and I read it. And if I'm very weak on my left leg, right?
Okay.
So like putting weight on my left leg, especially doing like a traverse move over, it's really hard. It's hard to trust it because your foot will pop off, you know, and certain dynamic moves that I have to use my left leg, is really hard. It's difficult. So, my coach who, he recently just got hired to be the USA adaptive team coach. He's amazing. I get to go to the USA training center where like the able-bodied people go. I mean, it's like a real thing. And he was like, I'm going to set you up on some routes where we're just going to like expose your weakness and we're going to practice it over and over and over again. Like just, you know, adapt your way to making this move, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, basically highlighting your weaknesses and trying to make it stronger. So yeah, my left leg is pretty weak. I think there's like some things with like pinchers, like different pinchers holds, because my
Yeah.
grip right now is like starting to like, but
Okay.
it doesn't like, and that's another thing is like, you shouldn't stop yourself. If even if it's like feels weak, you should still train those atrophy muscles, not to like strenuously, you know, like you're going to be so sore the next morning. You should still work them out, you
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
because
Yeah,
if
try
as
to
long
keep them
if
viable as long as possible.
keep it viable, I
Yeah.
mean, you know, like that's the main thing. Climbing is climbing. People think it's like a crazy sport, but what I'm doing is relatively safe. It's not, you know, like you're attached to your rope and
True, right? Especially when you're in the
yeah,
competitive side, right? Because that's, I'm assuming,
right side.
is that like a rock wall more or less that you're going on, or no, is that outside that you're competing on?
Well, yeah, so like there's a lot of gyms. I mean, in the world circuit, there's a lot, it's like kind of an outside venue, which is cool. So
Oh, that's cool.
they bring in this wall. It's like an exhibit and they
Yeah.
build it, right? And
Okay.
it's like overhung, and people want to check it out. I mean, check out some
Wild.
USA climbing type of situations, but it's like 45 degree overhung, and you know, then it's, I mean, these walls are wild. They're like 60 feet. They're like, you
Oh
know.
my God.
So like the adaptive climbing, I mean, you're still looking at athleticism at its purest form. It's just a people adapting to their you know, disability. And I think I'm the only one that has any side of like muscular dystrophy on any
Oh, really?
category of any team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to keep ha I just have to keep adapting to, you know, my weaknesses, because mine's dejuvenating. It is weaker, you know?
Yeah. It'll be consistently getting that way.
Exactly. So yeah. So I have to do this over and over again until the 2028 season to make the USA Paralympic team. And that will be like in March 2028. So this is kind of the first step of my journey of just
Wow.
making that Paralympic team. But that's the thing is like, yeah, that's all my goal. That's like the goal that I have, right? And I can like dream about it, but this is like the goal is too, is to, again, like if I do that, it can inspire others like that have what we have, right? Like
Yeah.
I think that'll be the cool, like that'll be cool. I can be able to just maybe touch some people's lives, or maybe, you know, they'll have access
Absolutely.
to like answers and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's
Am I
the bigger picture there.
it's a
The
bigger
climbing is
picture.
definitely
Yeah.
what you're good at, what you're taking that athletic side of yourself that doesn't go away because you have muscular dystrophy, right? I mean, you're still an athlete. Being an athlete isn't about the physical. An athlete's about the core. It's about the body, yes, but it's the mind, call it the heart of the athlete, right? It's the competitive side. If it's against yourself or another opponent, you can't, I don't think, ever get really rid of that. So you have to use it
No.
with something else. So that's exactly what you're doing. So that's something I think you have to feed, because your body won't let you not feed that side of you, right? And that's just who you
Yeah.
are. And then,
Yeah.
in essence, the byproduct of that is those of us that aren't maybe that way, competitive athlete, farther along the disease path, whatever, we're looking at you going, yeah, like that's awesome. Do that. Do that for us. Like,
Yeah.
make that happen. Now, are you worried though that between now, 2025, March, we're in March of 2028, as we just talked about, these muscles waste away. Are you at all concerned about what are you going to look like in March of 2028, physically? Are
Yeah.
things going to be more difficult?
Yeah, I think it's like it's always something in the in my you know, the back burner, and just kind of in the back of my brain. Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I was worried.
Yeah.
But I won't let it stop me again. You know, like I will do as much as I can to not stop and make this team, you know, and I can, yeah, I mean, like that you should have a little bit of confidence, you know, even though you have something. But I'm also climbing against other people that have their disability. Like this guy has spina bifida, you know, and just like can't feel the feeling below his like right leg. I mean, but he campuses everything, so he just uses his arms, like literally, like you know, like people just have like different forms that their bodies are kind of changing too, you know. Like, and my category is it's a like a resistant power type of thing, like range of power, and that's what it's the RP category. And so yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of guys that have their disability too, you know. But you're right, I am worried. But again, I am doing my best to not let it atrophy as much as it wants to. I mean, I'm taking vitamins and my diet is really good. And I think that's another thing, you know, like your diet. And then the guy that I talked to that was DMing, he was just talking about that. And I was just like, yeah, man, you gotta take your vitamins. You know, you gotta eat clean. Your body's your body's already fighting itself. Like, what's why you put harmful things in it, you know? And that's just me being real. Like, people need to take care of their bodies. It doesn't matter how severe you have it. I mean, that's another thing. Like, you know, our body's a temple, but it's kind of a messed up temple right now. You know what I mean? Don't like, don't break the foundation even more. And so Sam, my partner, her mom's a nutritionist, and I give her all the credit for like doing her due diligence and studying about what my body needs. And so Sam, she just keeps me accountable. Like, you know, she's just like, yeah.
I mean,
So,
then that's good to have a partner like that, right? Someone in your corner that she's looking out for you. It's not just yourself, you know, your own personal cheerleader, so to speak, right? And that's, I think, a part of our community that sometimes doesn't, I don't want to say overlook completely, but it is the caregivers, it's the family members that are right in the trenches with us. I've said before, sometimes it almost feels like my wife has it with me, you know, because she sees the struggle or she has to take on something that she's not used to doing because she's like, okay, I guess I got to try to help figure that out too. And I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, so it's like, I guess let's figure this out together, you know. Or she'll say, well, you show me how to do that and I'll be your hands. You just tell me what to do. Okay. You know, so you're right. It's like this like ultimate partnership, and not everybody has that. And I get that. But I think if you don't, you got to find it for sure. You know, find
You gotta find it.
that like tribe of people that like you get that gets you, and vice versa, and that you could look out for each other. And there's groups that you can join, sure, of course. And that kind of leads me into the next part, like the mental side of all this. Like I've asked people, you know, what's more difficult for you of FSHD? Is it the physical side or the mental side? So that's my question. What's more difficult for you?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. Man, that's such a good question. I think mental. I think in this competitive space, and competing against people, I mean, and you know, like this last competition, I was reading this route and I was like, even though that's a tribute to physical, it's like, I know I could do
But
it, right?
mentally,
Mentally, it's like, dang, you know, like if something happens, my foot pops off, like something, I know something's gonna happen. I think but that's not the way it used to be, you know. I like going on these climbing expeditions, you know, and I'd never in my mind I was like, physically I can't do this, you know. I was always like, I'm getting through this, like I don't care. But now I think it's starting to become a mental game for me because you're entering in the competitive space. For sure. Yeah, because I want to say it, I don't want to say it's physical, because everyone has their, again, has their own physical, you know, disabilities. And it's like, well, everyone has their own things. I can't say, you know what I mean? Like, so it is mental, I think. Yeah. That's such a good question. I didn't really think about that. Thanks, Tim.
Hey, you know, I can bring down the room like the best of them, man. No, but I totally agree. And most people say that, you know, or they'll say, well, I think because of the physical, it causes the mental problem of how do I overcome this, or yet another thing to overcome, and like so forth, you know. And I think everybody in the world has a something, you know. I came to that realization very quickly when I got diagnosed, that I immediately thought, yeah, there's no way I'm the only person that got news they weren't expecting or hoping it was going to be a negative. It turns out to be a, you know, yes, you're positive for this, whatever it is. And I became, I think, a lot more empathetic than I was. And it was like, I'm talking like it was like hours only. It just changed. Like, wow, like that's a slap in the face. And I've met some real jackasses in my life, like so many people have. And they seem like they have it all. But there is a part of me that goes, and it sounds so bad out loud, but here you go. I think to myself, well, you know what? That person kind of needs a good tragedy. Like you need something to kick you
They need,
down just a little bit, man, because it's not going to be like you think, you know? And that's why I particularly word choice is good tragedy, right? It's like a good one is something where, to me, you know, you're going to survive it. It's not going to be absolutely devastating, but it definitely has to be something to change your way of thinking and like get you out of that negative groove or whatever it is, you know? And I am probably the most, you know, non-positive person by nature I probably ever have met or know, you know, but I particularly try to find positive things or people to be near, you know. So if you see me like reaching out to you more, Johnny, just know why, because you're positive. So I'm like, I need to know what this person's doing because my tank of negativity is always full, you know. So I need to like counteract that with something else. So I have a good friend that I'm in business with, Mike Palmer, super positive guy. That you know, I'm attracted to those type of people to be around because it's the opposite of me. You know, I need that. And I think when people are looking for that someone that we were talking about, the partner, the people in your corner, sometimes you got to find the opposite so that when those, you know, good tragedy hits, you're like, I'm okay because I got my tribe of people to help me get through that, you know?
I think that's so important, man. Like surrounding yourself with people that just kind of, you know, like they don't look at you for what you have. Like, you know, they see you, they see your soul, they see your positive. Like you need to surround yourself with people. And I think that's what's gotten me through too. I mean, I honestly have the best friends. And people that, you know, aren't extroverted, that are more introverted, I highly recommend going out and going to a group, like signing up, you know, doing whatever you can. Like, man, there's so many cool people out there that at the end of the day, it's not, you don't have it the worst, you know? Like, but these people are out here and you may think they have it the worst, but in their eyes, they're like, they're just living their life. They love their life, you know? And that's my advice, you know. And Sam said it best. She was like, when she went to this competition, she was like, you know, it's like it helped me. It didn't help her, but it was, she was like, I'm not judging people's legs. I'm judging their heart and soul when they climb. Like you don't really see that when they climb. You see their soul and you see their heart, and they're like, you know, and that was like, wow, like that's so true. You
Yeah, you're
know,
seeing their
like
effort to do
there's
it, right?
effort.
Yeah,
I
you're
mean,
not seeing their body do it.
and it's wild. It is wild. Like the paraplegics, they don't have feeling in their legs, but they like get up these 60-foot walls, like using their arms. I mean, we're talking like the coolest thing
That's
ever, you
insane.
know? And then when you see them, you're like, oh, I have it so much better than you in my eyes, you know? Because I can use my legs still, you know?
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
I mean, there's that little bit of a comparison factor, but it's not supposed to be like for the negative side. It's just more like, wow, how can you do that? Because I have a struggle and I got legs,
I
dude. And
yeah,
you just did that
yeah.
without? Are you kidding me right now?
It's why, yeah, you're like, I can't do what you do. Like, and I have legs, you know? It's bonkers. I've never, it's kind of changed my life in such a big way. I mean, I've done a lot of things and lived a lot of life, but man, like this is just the coolest thing. It really is. And I'm just so happy I got into it. Not just because I climbed for 13 years, but just being a part of this like community is just great. And now I'm gonna be able to compete all over the world. So like, you know, Austria and France and Switzerland. So now I'm gonna meet people that have what I, you know, that maybe have what I have or have another disability. And it's like, yeah, I mean, people are suffering from all the world, but they're able to do something cool with their life, you know, and I just love it.
I mean, my brother always told me, you know, you got to find your tribe. That's exactly what you're doing, right? You're reaching out and finding those similar people, you know, that know what you're about and have that common interest. It's going to help your mental side of this
100%.
for
Yeah.
sure. Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely. Doing the
definitely.
physical thing will help the mental side of your disease. So,
Yeah.
like, last question, and it pains me to say that, to say last question, because I'm gonna have to bother you again for another interview. This is, especially as your
100%.
journey continues, I think it's poignant that we have to have like some check-ins for sure, because this is gonna
Yeah.
be a journey, and I think the community needs to see not just this part of the journey, and then, oh, it's 2028. There he is, you know.
It's gonna have it. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's gonna.
like nobody ever sees really the work, you know, they always see the outcome. I always say that to my little young athletes. I'm like, your parents aren't in this gym seeing you working out, right? They only see the
Yeah.
game. So,
Yeah.
you know, no one sees the backstories. Maybe we can get glimpses of that. But if you have somebody that is like, I ask this a lot, like they're recently diagnosed, maybe yesterday, maybe today, maybe a month ago, whatever. What advice do you give them? And I know you've given a lot already, but if even if you had to wrap it up, right, and say, this is what I give you, person X, you know, with this FSHD diagnosis. This is what I would do if I were you, or here's my advice for you.
Yeah, my advice is to take care of your body, to move your body every day. I mean, we've all heard of that 75 hard thing or whatever, but that take that times 1,000, you know. Life isn't over. Don't give up, you know. I mean, that's a cliche thing to say. But I haven't given up, you
Clearly.
know, and yeah, I mean, those are just simple cliche fortune cookie ways of just say it, but they just are true, you know. When people say it, it's just believe it. You can put your mind to whatever you want. I mean, I think, like, to man, ignore what you have, you know, like, don't let it stop you to do what you want to do. Like, you know, take the proper procedure. I'm not telling you, like, no medical advice, no, but, like, just live your life, you know,
Right. Because
and
you were
adapt.
somebody prior to it. You were still that
Exactly.
person. You're living that journey. You were the athlete before the diagnosis. You're the athlete after the diagnosis. You're still the athlete. You're still the guy that wants to do that stuff. You just changed it. You just made sure you fed that part of yourself differently. That's all.
And this world is able to, I mean, you can do whatever you want to, you know, like, it's giving you the ability to do whatever you want. Just be good at it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Man, I'm ready to run through a brick wall now. So that's
I
awesome.
know.
Dude, right?
No, I,
I hope
dude,
they
I
put
mean,
some music
it's
behind
crazy.
there. You know, I got to email Aaron. Hey, you know, when you edit Johnny's last part, you got to put some type of, you know, like New Rockne kind of like, you know, let's go, you know? That's good. That's exactly what we all need. You know, that's why in movies and in sports life, like everybody looks for that. They look for the halftime speech. They look for the rah-rah before the game starts. That's important. You know, you need those thoughts. You need that push. So if someone's just starting this journey, man, like they need that before they leave the locker room, right? Like they need to know that the world's not over. You said, you know, life isn't over. Those aren't cliches. I mean, because the reason why they're said so much is because they work, you know, or no one would say it. So it's poignant. So.
I mean, yeah, and there's, like, I mean, we were just talking about this before we started this, like, the actor, you know,
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that you can do. I mean, I, you know, all
Right.
categories. It's just, yeah, I mean, fascinating people.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So.
Well, this is fantastic. I knew it. I knew it. I knew that you'd have the energy, man. I just knew it. I'm gonna watch you closely and like how
Thank
you
you.
progress. I know you're gonna be on social media a lot. So don't stop doing that because we wanna keep peeking in. For those that don't know how to find you on social media, if you want them to find you, it sounds like you do. How do they do that? Where are you? Are we just Googling your name? Like what?
Yeah, you can Google. I mean, you can Google my name on Instagram, Johnny Quintana underscore junior. I'm starting a YouTube channel that you can follow
Beautiful.
my training and just different ways of, you know, how people, they teach people how to train their bodies, especially with stuff that I have. Yeah, TikTok is starting to launch.
Nice.
Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of cool things happening, just to kind of, that's how you can follow my journey. So, and if anyone wants to reach out to me, I'd just please reach out, because I'd love to talk. I'd love to talk about how progressed you are, your abilities. I'd love to talk about what you eat, what your diet is, what you're taking, how you're stretching, how you're moving your body every day. And I'm an open book. Ask me anything you want. So, yeah, I'd recommend people just DM me and hit me up.
Awesome. Open book. Love it. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
you.
We'll see you again
Thanks, Tim.
soon, and good luck
Okay.
in your next steps.
I
Awesome.
appreciate you, man. All
Yeah,
right. See ya.
likewise. So, Johnny Quintana. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm not lying. The energy I saw just out of the writing, the email back to me, just grateful to be on the episode, is always humbling to me. And it made me feel energized just reading his words, excited to talk to him. If you haven't gotten takeaways from this interview, I hate to say it, but you really weren't listening. You might want to listen again because, yeah, there's some cliches in there. Life isn't over. Don't give up. But like I said, there's a reason why people say those things often because they work. If they didn't work, you wouldn't say it. Some people might eye roll and this and this. No, my life is over. I guess a part of that life that you thought you had is over. There's no question. The faster you can get to that realization is the faster then you can get to adaption. And then converting your life of what you thought it was going to be to what you're going to do next. And that doesn't mean you take away the core things that you are. Johnny was an athlete. We've had other athletes on. We've had actors and actresses and musicians. They're still a musician. They were a musician. They were an actor, athlete, whatever. They were a business owner. All those things were prior to their diagnosis. I'm sure it is the same after. That's what I think can't get lost. There'll still be some definition of who you are is going to be riddled a little bit with the FSHD. I'm obviously okay with that, or I wouldn't be doing this podcast, but it is part of me. It is me. So I don't deny that. I hate it. I still wish it wasn't there, just like for everybody, but at the same time, it is there. So then what do we do now? What do we do next? It's going to hurt anyway, so we might as well do it. And it is so difficult, I'm sure, for so many, and like myself, that just to get up, man, just to get up. Like, really? This is going to be tough again. Yeah, it's going to be tough again. And I know so many have it a lot more difficult in what they're dealing with. And then there's other things that could be compounding on that physical issue, right? If there's financial issues and mental stress and all those things. But there are people out there that want to help. There are inspirational people out there that want to help. Johnny is an open book. You can reach out to them. He's approachable. This is a person that you can follow and be inspired by and take some of what he's doing and use in your life, adapt it in your life, if it's diet, if it's health, if it's stretching. I'm looking forward to that YouTube channel. I'm going to watch every one of those and start teaching ourselves how to be better adapters. We already are masters of them, but we can even be more so, I think, if we just keep continuing to get the help. So loved it. So yeah, he emailed out to me. That was a help with the FSHD Society, getting that connection. FSHD radio at FSHDsociety.org. Yeah, I think June Kinoshita had something to do with her, or her had to do having something to do with him being on this episode. So I thank her for that, and Aaron and everybody at FSHD Society that helps me get a lot of these guests. But some are coming from social media, some are just emailing straight on and getting connected with me or DMing me through my own socials. That's fine. Do that too. Open book. Want to know, like, what are you doing? How are you living your life? Share it with others, because that's how we're going to get through this, is together, not alone. So please do so. And don't forget to follow the show, watch every episode you can, share it like crazy. We need more people to know in this community that this podcast exists, not because I want you to hear my voice 2 times a month. It's because I want you to hear the voices of the others that are coming on. I am just the vessel. I am just trying to bring them here. And then I really search with my questions to ask them of what I would ask them if I were the listener, right? If I were you, what would I want this host to ask? And I really take a lot of time to meditate over that and go, what would I ask this person with their background, with their information they can give us? What great nuggets can I pull out to spread to the community to help them? And maybe you're one of those people that can help the community. You might not think so, but I think you should think a little bit more about yourself. So reach out, FSHD radio at FSHDsociety.org. Thanks for being in this episode. This was fantastic. I had so much fun talking with Johnny, just as much I've had with any other guests. Some people just strike you the right way. And he definitely did in this episode. I wish him the best. We are definitely going to keep track of how he's going through his progress and do more and more touching base with Johnny. So thanks for being on the show, Johnny. Thank you all for listening to the show, watching the show. We'll see you next time. This has been FSHD Straight Talk. Take care.